It's Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, California Wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen. Fierce Santa Ana winds fueling four major fires in Los Angeles County. Authorities say since the outbreak yesterday, at least two people are dead, 70,000 residents under evacuation orders, and some 28,000 structures threatened. LA City Fire Chief Kristen Crowley.
We want to make sure that everybody understands we are absolutely not out of danger yet. With the strong winds that continue to push through the city and the county today, I would tell you, and we are all committed to our first responders, our firefighters will remain focused on protecting lives and property.
The fires, including the largest in the Pacific Palisades south of Malibu, has burned 5,000 acres in less than 24 hours and destroyed at least 1,000 homes and buildings. Still no containment. Fire crews are facing hurricane force winds throughout today, making it tougher to battle the erratic flames from the air and on the ground. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. There will be four candidates for La Crosse mayor this year, all seeking to replace Mitch Reynolds, who declined to run again. Christine Kahlo, Vicky Markison, Ellie McLoon, and Shondell Washington Spivey all filed their paperwork in time to appear on the ballot. There will be a primary on February 18th to narrow the field down to two candidates. There will also be a primary for City Council District 7, currently held by Matt Keel, who faces challenges from Gary Podesky and John Ryman. In addition to La Crosse's municipal elections, Onalaska will have a contested election for District 1 alderperson, as Jim Benash faces Tom Smith for the seat vacated by Sean McAllister. Only one candidate, Kathleen Lowendorf, is running to replace Dan Stevens in District 2. District 3's Stephen Knott is running unopposed. For Circuit Court, Elliot Levine and Scott Horn are running unopposed in Branches 2 and 4, while Joe Veenstra and Eric Sanford are competing for the Branch 1 seat vacated by Ramona Gonzalez. The city of La Crosse will once again take up the possibility of creating a city administrator position, citing the setups in other Wisconsin cities such as Kenosha, West Allis, and Sheboygan, which have a city administrator and mayor. The city administrator for La Crosse would split the current duties that are done by the mayor. The salary range for the position checks in at just under $200,000. A city council workgroup will discuss the position Wednesday before the full city council takes up the proposal at a later meeting. It is not on the agenda for Thursday. The National Weather Service in La Crosse says 2024 is tied for the second warmest year on record for the Coulee region. The average temperature last year in La Crosse was 51.6 degrees, nearly 3 degrees above normal. La Crosse also set new record highs on 11 different days last year, most of them between the end of January and mid-March. It was a little wetter than usual, with about 2 1/3 inches of precipitation above normal for the year. So far this winter, 8.2 inches of snow has fallen. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
The Packers prepare for Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding practice for Sunday's playoff game against the Eagles. Although Green Bay has lost Christian Watson for the rest of the season, Dontavian Wicks says they still have depth at wide receiver.
We got so many playmakers on the team, you know, and I see a lot of people that want to win. So, you know, we bring that all together and compliment each other. I think everything's going to be great for us.
Bucks basketball tonight. Milwaukee hosting the San Antonio Spurs at Fiserv Forum. In college hoops, number 7th ranked Marquette came from behind to beat Georgetown 74-66. Chase Rice led the Golden Eagles with a career-high 27 points. That snapped a five-game winning streak for the Hoyas.
Man, it's a far cry from the Georgetown team we played last year. I told the guys that coming in, but then when you feel it and you experience it on the floor, I think it still takes some adjusting on the guys' part to understand, like, this is a team to really, you know, be reckoned with in our league.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny and crisp today, with high temperatures tapping 20 and sliding to near 10 tonight. It'll be a mostly cloudy start to the day tomorrow, but a warmer one, with highs reaching the mid-20s and snow moving in by the afternoon. And accumulations look light, with less than half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
One of my New Year's intentions is to play more, and by that I mean more board games. What are your favorites? We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Eagle 1490 AM.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbush here on a Wednesday, January 8th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Glad to have you along, Mr. Zommers. It's Wednesday. That means
hump day.
Indeed. Here we are on hump day. Always a pleasure to be with you. Lots to get to today. Hour number two. Yes, a what's worse. And Trygve Olsen, who had planned on being here at hour one, heard he had a birthday a couple of weeks ago, and so now he's even closer in age to Pat Kreitlow, so he can't lord that young buck stuff over you anymore. And so Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, he's not going to be here till hour two. He's avoiding you.
What is he suddenly getting forgetful at his advanced age already as far as, you know, telling time? Is he oriented properly to person, place, and time?
I'm not. He's on the geritol now, so we'll...
I guess, you know, that'll mess you up, man.
I know. So he'll be here at hour two. Talk a little bit about what's happening in the 119th Congress, being out there in D.C. and being a former aide to a couple of different U.S. senators out there. Of course, he's now the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Talk about what may be happening in the weeks and months ahead in Washington, D.C. As I said, we also have a What's Worse for you and take a look at other headlines around the state of Wisconsin. But as we said, the aforementioned Pat Kreitlow, you can hear him every morning between 6 and 8 from beautiful Lake Wissota on Up North News Radio across Civic Media's radio network. Patrick, happy holidays. Happy New Year. We haven't talked to you on the show since the new year. How are you?
That's right. No, it was a wonderful holiday break, including a week-long break to just be grandpa to our two younger grandkids, 5 and 2. A lot of fun, but it's also nice to kind of resume a normal routine without all the aches and pains that come from chasing the aforementioned 5-year-old and 2-year-old. So it was good all around.
That's good. Well, calmness. Is Lake Wissota frozen over yet?
Oh, yes. Very, very all much right. So. It's very sunny. Very peaceful here. The ice is very smooth, I'm told. Very good for ice skating and other things that people are doing out there. So for the ice fishing part of winter recreation, that's looking very promising. But clearly a lot of folks would like a lot more snow here in this part of Wisconsin. And if we could send some over to Southern California too, that would be really nice. Well, they could use anything there right now. That is just, I feel so bad for them.
Yeah, I appreciate the transition. That's where I was going to go next. And just, I know people listening on the network have heard CBS and ABC News at the top of the hour, but this is a major story. And I know, as Pat said, it might not affect us directly here in Wisconsin, but I have some close friends who I talked to this morning out in the Los Angeles area. And they said they've been out there essentially their whole lives. And this is bad. It's really bad. They said they're not directly in danger right now, but they said the whole air and everything filled with smoke and soot and burning ashes. It is not a good situation in Southern California. Last I heard about an hour ago, the update out there in LA County that this fire, the scary thing is it's 0% contained. And with the Santa Ana winds right now bearing down on parts of just outside the Hollywood Hills, as they say, just outside of Santa Monica and West Hollywood, apparently over 1,000 structures have been lost so far. And I believe so far two people, firefighters and a firefighter and another person lost their lives so far. The California governor has deployed the California National Guard at this hour to help with Governor Gavin Newsom to help with the situation. And as Pat said, thinking about all those folks out there, the Palisades fire and other ways, Pat, not fun at all.
No, and I was watching one reporter in a place called Pacific Palisades, mm-hmm. Which is just outside of the city, I guess, of Los Angeles, and saying that for all intents and purposes, Pacific Palisades is gone. Yeah. And that when people go, well, where did this all come from? This is essentially a wind storm, mm-hmm. is how they're describing it. It's just, again, that perfect setup of a high pressure system to the north, a low pressure system to the south. The way that they spin, it's like putting LA right in the middle there, and the wind is just howling at 40 to 90 miles an hour at times. They haven't had substantial rains in about 2 years in some parts. And so, I mean, when you get wind like that, and we can insert the climate change part mm-hmm. later, but again, stronger rainstorms, stronger droughts, stronger windstorms, you have the conditions right in place for something like this to happen. And it's just it's a tragedy. Anywhere we live, we could be prone to that particular thing, whether it's a hurricane that hits the right way in Florida or a drought here that turns into a fire or a tornado, whatever the case may be. And they got caught in the bullseye of the perfect combination for such destructive fires. And, you know, we wish them all the best.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I've talked about it with friends before. For my money, Pat, hard to beat living in Wisconsin. I mean, yes, as you said, occasionally get the tornado or a drought or whatever, but no earthquakes by and large, no hurricanes, no wildfires like this. We're pretty fortunate to live in Wisconsin, quite frankly.
Yeah, we are. And we're in what has been called in climate studies a climate haven, in that as other places suffer much more because of a changing climate, we won't suffer as much. But also, I would take great pains to point out that doesn't mean zero. There are right. definite impacts that we're feeling here from the weather. Again, floods, tornadoes, droughts. What it does to things like, you know, certain kind of, because of the way we would have longer droughts, you would see more, types of ticks, for example, mm-hmm. would be able to thrive. And so you could see a big uptick in Lyme's disease, you know, at some point down the road. So there's so many ways that all of this comes together. And when it does happen in any one place, I would hope that we would come together for them, because and again, you know, we get accused of making everything political here, but I just know there's people out there going, oh, California, couldn't happen to a better place.
Right.
These are human beings.
Yeah.
And these are human beings, including a lot of people who, you know, vote your way and a lot of people who don't vote your way. Don't worry about that part.
Yeah.
Just use your humanity as this happens.
Could not agree more. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join Patrick and I this morning here on a Wednesday, Pat, waiting for, I think we have a caller here. We have Mark from Prairie du Sac, I believe, calling in, want to talk about the wildfires. Mark, listening on WMDX in Prairie du Sac. Mark, thanks for calling in. You want to talk about the wildfires for a second?
Yeah, well, some 10 years ago, there was a fire up in Douglas County that if it would have happened like a day or two later, the same event would have happened a day or two later, that fire wouldn't have occurred where it took out, you know, a chunk of the county there, including a lot of vacation homes and homes, that because a spark dropped from a piece of logging equipment, I think it was, that and wasn't put out right away, it sparked and, you know, continued to burn. And I know it took up places, you know, people's lake homes and a good chunk of the county. I think it was over $1 million in fire suppression expenses, that mm-hmm. nowhere near what is happening in California. But, I mean, that if you have just some drought conditions in the springtime, there that you can get a fire and it can go quick.
Yeah.
It can go really quick, and we're not immune to it even here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So,
no, we're not. No.
Appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so much. There you go.
Thanks, Pat, Mark.
Exactly what you're talking about right there.
Yeah. We just have to keep that in mind when any kind of disaster happens. And so for us, when you see something like in Washington, D.C., where you have members of Congress who vote against disaster relief bills,
right.
But then when a disaster hits their place, they're suddenly their hat in hand. Mm-hmm. It is just a reminder that, you know, public service isn't supposed to be so parochial that it's only help my people if something is wrong with them. Let's get people thinking about each other and set their priorities accordingly when they serve or when they give.
You just said, I wasn't planning on going there, but you just said something that sparked this. I was watching a little bit yesterday afternoon, the U.S. Capitol service for former President Jimmy Carter, who, of course, passed away at 100. This is the week of mourning. Yesterday's services were in the rotunda. Speeches were given by Republican leader John Thune, House Speaker Republican Mike Johnson, Vice President, Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris. And I did not know this until Vice President Harris. I mean, I knew he helped create the U.S. Department of Education and Education. What else was it? It was two agencies. But then I didn't know he created FEMA. In 1979, to your point, Pat, that had not been for somebody like Jimmy Carter saying, look, we need to have a national, a federal response so that all states, because, you know, some states are much poorer than others, not able to help themselves. And so, again, part of Jimmy Carter's legacy is FEMA.
That's right. And again, it comes back to the kind of person that he was, and that was to be charitable, because while there are times when any of us are doing well, there are times when we are not. And we, if we're going to be one single united country rather than, you know, a fractured checkerboard of 50 states, then we have to be prepared to step in, knowing full well we would want the same if, you know, if misfortune were to fall upon our shoulders.
Yeah. Watching that service yesterday, everybody was civil. Everybody was saying kind things, mm-hmm. And it's just like, see, they can do it if they want to be. And I mean, you were a state legislator. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago. I mean, I think there were still a few people who were being civil with one another across party aisles when the cameras weren't on from Wisconsin High and you were on the floor, right?
That's right. And look, there's a time for everything. There's a time to debate. There's a time to really disagree. And there are times when we should be coming together. And it's about having your priorities straight. You know, I mean, even in this legislature is only 3 days old,
yeah.
But I'm looking at a video from the Senate floor session right now. And, you know, the Democratic members are rightly pointing out that on this third day of the session, the very first thing being brought to the Senate floor isn't about taking care of our kids or our health or our natural resources or anything like that. It's voter suppression. Through, you know, putting voter ID requirements in the state constitution. Our priorities are messed up in places like Madison and D.C. when we're looking at either voter suppression or anti-LGBTQ matters or anything divisive as the very first order of business. We should expect better.
We're up against, so we had about an hour. I'm way off today. We got a minute here before I have to go to break. I want to come back in time. This is one of the things on the list because I'm anxious to hear your a little bit deeper thought on this. And I think we're probably going to get to about the same place, but maybe in different ways, because, I mean, this was what you brought up, voter suppression, literally the reason I left my former party. I left the Republican Party in 2011 because I witnessed the Senate Republican caucus trying to pass bills to suppress the vote. Surprisingly, right. I don't have a real problem with voter ID in general. And we'll come back and discuss my feelings to that, the star caveat, and get Mr. Kreitlow's take on it as well. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Strap on your ice skates. Lake Wissota is smooth. And time to get out and do a pirouette up there. Join Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Ready Network. He'll make you smile, give you some thoughts for the day, also keep you informed. Always has great guests as well. And I'm not sure how I found my way onto the guest list, but you're starting a new thing, Pat, on Fridays, a little round table.
Yes, yes, we are. You know, we've had some wonderful weekly guests, and we thought, well, let's add a few more voices to the mix here. And so on Thursdays, we'll talk about state news of the week. We'll still have Joe Zepecki at 6:30, but then we'll do a little panel, or we'll talk to reporters, we'll talk to, you know, elected officials. So tomorrow, for example, we're going to have Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner on at 7:05 to talk, as you know, about Brad Schimmel's comments about January 6th defendants that you covered so very well yesterday. We're also slated to have Assembly Democratic leader Greta Neubauer and new state senator Sarah Kieski on to talk about what's happening in this first week of the legislative session. Mm-hmm. Then on Fridays at 6:30, we'll still have Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kiev Akil. At least I hope so, because he's in Los Angeles right now, and obviously things are busy there. But we're also going to have one of my colleagues, Billy Ball, from North Carolina. He works for the Cardinal and Pine, the name of the news outlet there for Courier Newsroom, about how they're having a very contentious state Supreme Court election there. The liberal incumbent justice won, but the Republican challenger has tried recounts, has tried other appeals to try to get 60,000 votes thrown out. And every court had said, no, get out of here. The state elections board said, get out of here. But a Trump appointed judge said, oh, yeah, you should make the state Supreme Court hear this case, which, of course, has a conservative majority. So North Carolina's Supreme Court might be on the verge of overturning the results of an election for partisan purposes. So we're going to talk to Billy Ball about that Friday morning at 6:30. And then at 7:30, we normally talk to Chicago journalist Mark Jacob about stories of the week. We talk to a former U.S. attorney, Jim Santel, of course, from Amicus on Saturday mornings here across Civic Media. Sometimes we talk to journalist Jennifer Schultze. And this time around, we said, let's get them all on one roundtable and let's find one more person who can really tie all of this together with his expertise and his good looks. And Trygve Olsen was not available, and so Todd, thank you very much for agreeing to be part of the panel Friday morning at 7:30.
I'm happy to be the backup panelist, break glass in case of emergency. So I'm honored to do it. It'll be a lot of fun. I'll get up and get the coffee going. So join Pat and all kinds of great new things on Up North News every morning from 6 until 8. Pat, I want your quick take. Of course, for folks that don't know, you spent a term in the Wisconsin State Senate representing the Chippewa Valley area there so well. You're familiar with this. Of course, you've been a journalist for a long time. So as you said in the last segment there, Republicans, the first order of business in the state Senate under good old Van Wongard, who I know very well, a Republican senator from the Racine area. Their first bill they pushed through the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee yesterday on a 5-3 party line vote was to put on the ballot in this April a referendum in order to codify, or a fancy word for say, put in the Constitution a requirement for voter ID. And people say, well, don't we already have that? Yes, we do. And as a matter of fact, I was the lead witness in a trial that went to federal court. And on not just that, but also, as Pat alluded to, all these other surrounding pieces of legislation under the Walker era to literally suppress the vote. I was witness to that. I saw that that was literally what they were trying to do. And it's why I left the Republican Party. In that federal trial, the federal judge threw out everything but voter ID because he said the U.S. Supreme Court had already ruled that in, I believe it's 9 states, including Wisconsin, that require voter ID, that the U.S. Supreme Court says that is the law of the land. So now Republicans are coming back and saying, hey, let's gin this up to get our base out for a Wisconsin state Supreme Court race. And under the auspices of, well, we don't want a quote unquote liberal court to undo this, Pat Kreitlow, would say you.
I would say that, again, Republicans are in the legislature are monkeying with the state constitution because they know that they cannot pass a bill into law that would not be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it were to be so overtly and nakedly partisan. And to those who would say, hey, wait, what is so nonpartisan? What is so partisan about, requiring an ID to vote? The answer is relatively simple here. And you know it as well as I do. It's about picking your voters. You've seen it with gerrymandering, where we can draw the lines. But if you also know that most of the people who don't have a lot of money, who come from communities of color, who aren't drivers, if you know they don't tend to vote for you, then you don't have to do anything really to encourage them to vote. So let's require an ID. Even though they may not have an ID, even though they may have to jump through a bunch of hoops to get it, I would say this. I would go along with that if there was a voter fraud problem. This is a solution in search of a problem. So if it's a solution in search of a non-existent problem, then you're left by logic to say, why are we doing this? Because we think that most of the people who don't have IDs on them aren't going to vote for us anyway. So we're going to spend our time making this the very first official action of this legislature is to suppress the vote. Voter ID on its face sounds good. I agree. But it doesn't solve anything because we don't have a fraud problem. So there must be another motivation for it.
I'm going to come back after the break and give you my background on knowing Senator Van Wongard. He's an interesting guy and kind of how he got radicalized, so to speak. But I don't really disagree with you, Pat, other than, look, I'm an independent, right? So, like, nobody's right. Coming to me and saying, hey, Todd, why don't you give some Democrats the advice? But if I were to, I would say you're in earshot or whatever you want to say of getting the assembly in 2 years. I would be thinking in terms of how do I want my candidates to run in 2 years on this stuff? And I don't think going to the voters in a year and a half and saying, we were against voter ID is a winner. I think you say, look, Senator Wongard, I agree that only Americans should vote. But wouldn't you join me, Senator Wongard, in saying we should make sure that that's accessible and free to all legal Wisconsin citizens? And why don't we take part of our $4 trillion surplus and fund the Department of Motor Vehicles and the staff to make sure that all Wisconsinites can get a free ID?
Actually, we don't even have to spend that much money. Let's go a step further. Automatic voter registration.
Agreed.
Let's encourage voting. That's how you do it. Not discourage voting, encourage voting, and then win on the issues, not through trickery.
See, if Pat Kreitlow and Todd Allball rule the world, and we don't,
yeah,
life would be so much simpler.
It would. We'd get it all done.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you. Every morning, 6 until 8. Stay tuned. More on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media's Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you. At the UW-Madison campus, researchers are looking at how laser weeding with artificial intelligence can be a tool in specialty crops. Professor Jed Colhoun explains that the laser weeder uses lots of HD cameras to identify weeds, and he says it could be a solution for the stubborn water hemp here in Wisconsin and save farmers money on herbicide.
Water hemp is one of those that has become problematic across the Midwest. Not only does it emerge over a long period of time during the growing season, but is very often resistant to at least one herbicide site of action, and several in many cases. So with this tool, we can target those problematic weeds, again using these high-resolution cameras to detect the weeds by species, and then hitting them just in the growing point at the very early growing stage with lasers on the Carbon Robotics laser weeder.
Jed Colhoun is a plant sciences professor at UW-Madison. We'll take a look at our midday commodity prices next.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Commodity prices are moving a little lower today. Cash corn down a penny and a quarter at 4.56 and three quarters, and December new crop corn also down a penny and a quarter at 4.45 a bushel. Cash soybeans are trading three quarters of a cent lower at 9.96 and a half, and November new crop beans are down 3 cents at 10.08 and a half. Cash wheat is down a nickel and a half at 5.37 a bushel, and July new crop wheat is down a nickel and a quarter at 5.57 and three quarters. From Chicago, Class 3 milk prices are mixed. The February contract is 7 cents lower at $20.83 a hundredweight, but the March contract is up a penny at $20.46 a hundredweight. That's a look at your midday markets on Wednesday, January 8th. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny and crisp today, with high temperatures tapping 20 and sliding to near 10 tonight. It'll be a mostly cloudy start to the day tomorrow, but a warmer one, with highs reaching the mid-20s and snow moving in by the afternoon. And accumulations look light, with less than half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 17.
Matt and Air on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt and Air on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name 1 year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. We'll be right back. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, next up for the Packers, they take on the Eagles. What are their chances heading into the playoffs? We talk to Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tile Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio for joining us there in the first half hour of the show. Always appreciate him. Great program every morning from 6 until 8 on Civic Media. Also, if you're tuning in on a Wednesday, expecting to hear Trygve Olsen, going to be a little bit later. He had obligations out there in D.C. Maybe he's shoveling. They rarely get snow out there. No, Trygve doesn't shovel. Come on.
He could. I mean, does it? Why not?
There was a time in his life when he shoveled. My guess is he either has his daughters do it or he has people to do that.
Fair.
But Trygve will be along in hour number two, talking a little bit about the 119th Congress, what we might be able to expect and what's going on out there in terms of going to be obviously a busy and not certainly not boring out in D.C. in 2025. But right now, a couple of quick updates for you. Again, that wildfire out in the Los Angeles area on that, certainly a state emergency now. And the scary part is this thing is 0% contained and is raging by wind gusts of up to 90 miles per hour. So certainly anyone that is living out there, we're thinking of them. And offering our prayers and thoughts and good vibes that everybody stays safe. Remember, lives cannot be replaced. Material things can. So people should need to just take care of themselves. But certainly a tragedy out there in Southern California today. Also, closer to home, breaking news this afternoon, courtesy of WISC Channel 3000, an ice skater was rescued from Lake Monona this morning. Madison Fire Department said that the person was located, get this, 150 to 200 yards from shore, northeast of Monona Terrace. They were able to get themselves out of the water and onto the ice. A craft was deployed from Law Park a minute's way to the person on foot. The water in the area was estimated to be about 40 to 50 feet deep. Rescuers made contact with the patient on the ice and provided the person with a personal flotation device and transported them back to shore. They were taken into an ambulance and taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Madison Fire Department Lake Rescue Team advises that the area where the rescue occurred contains many ice heaves. These are areas where pressure has caused the ice to crack and move, exposing fresh water and creating areas of thin ice and instability. 150 to 200 yards offshore. That is like a football field and a half to two football fields. I mean, folks, I get it. You want to get out and enjoy nature. But don't be going out in the middle of it's too early. The ice, and then what gets me is you're putting our first responders, our EMS crews, our firefighters, you're putting their lives at risk. So use your wisdom. Don't be going in the middle of a lake yet. If you want to, be 10 yards offshore next to a shoreline and go ice fishing, there are places that it's fine to do that. But don't be going in the middle of a lake right now. Certainly, many thanks to our Madison Fire Department crew here in Madison, our EMS workers as well for making that rescue today on Lake Monona. Also talking about, want to follow this up, what we talked about started with Pat Kreitlow there. Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature have made voter ID their big first kickoff. According to WisPolitics via the Associated Press, the GOP pushing to make voter ID a constitutional requirement. There was a public hearing yesterday. The Senate expected to pass it today. Assembly to give it first approval or final approval next week. Legislature passed the voter ID proposal last session and must approve it again by January 21st to get it on the April ballot. That's how these things work in Wisconsin. That two consecutive sessions of the legislature have to approve a referendum, and it can't be amended between the two. It has to be the exact same one consecutively to get it on the ballot. Back to the story, this would make it more difficult for Democrats to soften the 14-year-old law or overturn the requirement in court. There are no pending legal challenges to voter ID, even though the state Supreme Court has sided with Democrats in other major cases. Other states have taken similar steps in recent years to constitutionalize voter ID requirements. In Mississippi in 2011, North Carolina in 2018, while Minnesota voters rejected it in 2012. The possibility of Democrats regaining majority control have led Republicans to enact a number of constitutional amendments to protect laws that have passed. Even if the amendment was approved, lawmakers could still decide what type of photo ID is acceptable. Wisconsin voter ID law is the strictest of 9 similar photo ID laws that have been upheld in court several times. Wisconsin ID has strong public support despite Democratic arguments that the ID requirement hinders voting. What do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. On voter ID. Again, just to, not voter ID, but voter suppression was the reason I left the Republican Party. And the quick refresher, don't worry for those regular listeners, I won't go through all the bloody details again. But in 2011, when I was working for former State Senator Dale Schultz, I was in a private, a closed caucus, as they say. It's just Republican senators or Democratic ones, if you're on the other side, and their staff. And they started running down these, they called them voter support bills, or voter suppression. And Mary Lozick, the chair of the Senate Election Committee, stood up and said, hey, we need to start thinking about what this would mean for places like Madison and Milwaukee and college campuses. In other words, passing this cadre of bills would make it more difficult for students and older people and minorities to vote. And because they tend to vote more, not monolithically, but they vote, in other words, in one block to make it easier. But by and large, those communities tend to vote more for Democratic candidates than Republicans. And my boss was the only one in the caucus to raise his hand and say, hey, we better stop and think about what you just said. And then State Senator Glenn Grothman turned to my boss and said, well, Dale, you know the Democrats would do it if they were in charge, so we better do it quick while we can. And Dale walked out in protest and told me, you stay here. And I did. And for 90 or so minutes, I listened to many Republicans, not all, but then many Republican senators in 2011 talk gleefully about what this would do politically. And none of them ever used the word or phrase voter suppression. But it was the loudest dog whistle in the room that you knew exactly what they were intending. And that's why I left the Republican Party. Because it didn't line up with what I believed in taking someone's constitutional rights away. And fast forward to 2016 when I had a coffee shop and my star barista, who happened to be from California and happened to be a person in his early 20s and happened to be Latino, who had a valid California driver's license, went to get a Wisconsin one. And because of the rules, of the bills I saw formed, passed the legislature and signed into law by Scott Walker, that individual in 2016 was not able to vote. Even though he was born in the United States, a legal citizen, had a legal ID from another state. And it affected me deeply. So that's my background on this. My feeling is that I don't have a problem with voter ID per se. I mean, I have U.S. Cellular. If I go to U.S. Cellular to pay my bill, to change anything, to get any information, I have to show them a driver's license, a photo ID. So I don't have a problem with saying, okay, we're going to require a photo ID to vote. What I have a problem with is this article in Wispolitics and the Associated Press allude to, is all the other bills, the caveat bills, that Republicans pass in order to make it more difficult to get that voter ID. So as I said before the break, if I were the Democrats, which I'm not, I would be pragmatic about this. I would, you know, and Van Wongard's an interesting guy. He's a former cop from Racine, And the tea on him is that he joined my former boss, Dale Schultz, and the teachers union in crafting an alternative to Act 10. And then the day that it was to be introduced, he backed out because he got so much pressure from the Republicans and Scott Fitzgerald and the special interest groups. And then he was like Peter, Peter in the Bible, right? That denied Christ three times. He was like Peter. I knew nothing about that. I deny it. That's a bold-faced lie. Lawn guard, if you get him behind closed doors, used to be. I'm not sure. I haven't talked to him in years. He was a decent guy, but he's kind of been radicalized by these MAGA people. And now he's going along with whatever they want. But if I were the Democrats, I would say, you know what, Senator Lawn guard, I agree that only Americans should vote. Only citizens should vote. But wouldn't you also agree, Senator Lawn guard, we want to make sure that American citizens have access, free and easy access to an ID so that they can participate. So let's take some of the $4 trillion surplus in our state budget. Let's work with Bob Lang, the head of the budget office, the fiscal bureau, who everybody respects, Republicans and Democrats. Let's ask Bob Lang to get a figure from the Department of Motor Vehicles, the State Department of Transportation, on what it would cost to properly staff Department of Motor Vehicle stations all over the state, and then make sure that people get this voter ID. What do you think about that, Senator Lawn guard? You see, you put him in a box. You make it more difficult and make him look like the unreasonable person. Because if you're the first thing out of the gate is to say, oh, this is atrocious. Why are we doing voter ID? It makes you look like the bad person or the bad party in the eyes of the majority of Wisconsinites. It's just not politically smart. But unfortunately, too many Democrats don't think that way. You know, it gets into the weeds of, well, you know, are we really representing everyone? There might be someone who's undocumented who wants to vote for a school board race in whatever town in Wisconsin, and we want to make sure they're not disenfranchised. That's a loser in terms of political expediency and winning elections. I want to win elections. So be pragmatic. Meet Republicans halfway. Play their game. And say, commit to making sure, and as somebody else said, who was it, one of our texters, Mr. Zomers, saying that what about making, you know, when you register to, or when you get your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Somebody else said, how about when you're born, you get automatically registered? I mean, that gets a little bit trickier because you can't register until you're 18. But make it easier for people to register, make sure they're registered, make it easy access to voter ID, then I've got no problem. But you have to think about these terms, not just in your base on either side of the aisle, but practically in how you get it done and prepare for elections coming up in 18, 16 months. And think about how you want your candidate to be on the stump against a Republican on this issue. Have to have calmer heads prevail instead of just constantly screeching and yelling at one another. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. John, we're up against the clock. John in Milwaukee, but go ahead. You got about 1 minute.
I listened to your comment as far as you'd be supportive if there was proven fraud. I have a different idea. I'd be supportive if we use the technology that Costco or Sam's Clubs uses where you can get a card one right at the polling place. So people come in with their utility bill or whatever, and they get a card. And if Costco or Sam's Club can do this day in and day out, we should be able to do it for voting.
Yeah. No, I mean, it goes a long time after. That's exactly what I would do. But yeah, I mean, making it easier and accessible and make sure that it's not a modern day form of a poll tax. In other words, you know, well, you got to have so much money to get an ID. The law in Wisconsin right now is that you can get a legal Wisconsin ID for free. All right? It used to be in the state that if you had a valid driver's license from another state, you could just come in and switch it out. But thanks to Republican control that I saw this happen, they changed the law so that now you have to have your birth certificate or a passport or a military ID. It makes it much harder to get this stuff. It should be free and accessible and easy to get to. More calls the other side. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great-tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock at the top of the hour. News, weather, a check of sports with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And then back for hour 2, where Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, will be here on the show. Been a couple of weeks. Been traveling. Been following the Packers. Been playing hockey. Been unplugging. I'm very proud of Trygve. He kind of disappeared. We had a mutual friend that said, have you heard from Trygve? He's just disappeared. I said, yeah, I think he just unplugged, which is exactly what he did. Good for him,
because that seems like something you got to do every once in a while when you need to be as chronically online as he is for his line of work.
Yeah, absolutely. So Trygve will be plugging back in with us in hour number 2, talking about what's happening in the 119th Congress coming up in Washington, D.C., which is where he is at. We'll talk with him and also what's worse. An hour or two as well. Right now, talking about this Republican idea, they passed it in the Senate yesterday, or the committee expected to pass it in the full Senate today, putting voter ID requirements on the ballot this April. What are your thoughts? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Jack calling in from beautiful Racine down there, home of WRJN. Jack, thanks for listening and calling in. What are your thoughts? Go ahead.
Hello, Todd. Todd, I really agree with you about the importance of voting as a right of citizens. You know, in a democracy, that's probably one of our most important right. And I certainly agree with you on that. And you know, your point about the political issue and as a political issue in the state of Wisconsin, it's just it became a referendum. I think you're right on there. That's an issue, but you know, because it's so important for people to vote, I think we got to look at not having a constitutional amendment, which, by the way, when it was first voted on, Wisconsin wasn't really a democracy. It was a locked-in Republican gerrymandered state.
I don't think that vote should actually count, but that's a lost cause. At any rate, I think you're right about finding other ways to get people be able to register to vote. And of course, we got to recognize it's not just registering to vote; it's also having a birth certificate. You know, a lot of people, when they're born, they leave home and their parents pack up their birth certificate neatly. But for a number of people less fortunate, they don't have parents to do that, or that gets lost in a fire or something's happened. So you got a lot of people, many really elderly people moved from other states without birth certificates. Then they got to get out to a motor vehicle department. Some aren't open all week. Their people are far away. They don't have transportation to get there. You know, that's the driver's license issue, but, you know, could this be done in schools? Could it be a part of civics classes throughout the state? Mm-hmm. So I like your idea of trying different ways, but it's so important that I don't see any way that you, unless you have those possibilities out before you, how can we make it a constitution and lock in this gerrymandered Republican voter suppression forever? What do you think?
I don't necessarily disagree with anything you said. I think there are little nuances to it. But I think, number one, it's important to remember that this is already the law of the land. It's not a constitutional amendment that could possibly go to voters in April. That isn't like, oh, if it passes, we have to have it. And if it doesn't, we don't. No. It's already the law of the land. And the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that law in Wisconsin is constitutional, the law of the land. So to think that a possible future liberal Supreme Court would overturn that is, in my opinion, as a non-lawyer, a pretty far stretch. So I think that's important to remember, number one. But again, Jack, I agree largely with what you're saying, to find ways to make it easier for people to get. You're right, people in nursing homes. I had a grandmother that, you know, spent 8 years in a nursing home. As I said, the example I had, my former barista who was born in California, came to Wisconsin, his birth certificate was back in LA. And so, yes, if you have a valid driver's license from another state, I think you should be able to switch that out for a Wisconsin driver's license or Wisconsin ID. I think that student IDs, both in our university system and tech college system, private, if you are a university student, pretty hard to fake your identity. So I think that student IDs should be a valid form of proof to vote as well. And lots of creative suggestions for our listeners. So I'm with you, Jack. I think that, you know, we should be able to. And again, we have a $4 trillion surplus right now. I know Bob Lang, the state budget director at the Fiscal Bureau, or the Fiscal Bureau director. Everybody respects Bob Lang on both sides of the aisle. And if you don't, you're a schmuck. All right. That's the reputation you would have in the Capitol. Have Bob Lang get you a number if you're a legislator, and get it from Department of Transportation of how much it would cost to prop. Because remember, a lot of places, especially in rural Wisconsin, the DMV is only open once a week or once every other week. That's ridiculous. I've told this story before. The quick version is, during the Walker years, when they built a brand new Department of Transportation building on Shorewood, Sheboygan Avenue, there was a DMV office there. They built a brand new multi-million-dollar building and intentionally did not put in a DMV office on the ground floor. They rented space in far, far western Middleton, a suburb of Madison, and put the DMV for Madison way out there to make it more difficult for poor people to get to. That was intentional, to suppress the vote in Madison. That's the kind of crap that has to stop. And so, in my opinion, if you're Democrats, you put Republicans in a box. You say, we'll go along with voter ID, but you have to allocate money to make sure, or a part of the laws, to make sure that people can get these IDs freely and accessibly. Anyway, come on back. It'll be hour two straight ahead. Trygve Olsen, he's tan, rested, and ready. You will be too. Also, what's worse? It's the Todd Allball Show for a Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Tim Cavanaugh joins me to discuss his upcoming show in Port Washington. Then TV's Mike Siegel and I discuss high school dance music. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews in Southern California battling four major fires fueled by the fierce Santa Ana winds, now blamed for at least two deaths. Authorities say 70,000 are under evacuation orders and 1,000 structures have been destroyed so far. The Palisades Fire, one of the largest south of Malibu, has charred some 5,000 acres and is not contained. ABC's Matt Gutman is there.
Firefighters attacking the more than 2,900-acre wildfire from the ground and the air, but the fire exploding everywhere seemingly at once. A Santa Ana wind event the National Weather Service called the worst in over a decade, turbocharging the fire. And that wildfire sparing no one, no vehicle or structure safe across Los Angeles County, home to 10 million people.
This hour, flames are licking the sweeping grounds leading to the famed Getty Museum, and the winds expected to worsen throughout the day. This is ABC News.